Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads and grow your business fast.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Happy Monday, Victory Monday, and feeling good now that we're inside. You know, it is cold outside. I got in the car this morning, 0 degrees, but you know, it's the holiday season. As I always say, and I'll continue to say this, I am fine with this through the holidays. You know, the Christmas lights look so good with the snow and everything. By mid-January, it is miserable. Again, I'm happy for the snowboarders and the skiers and the people who own the lifts and everything. Hey, go and enjoy. I wish I had gotten into skiing. I do. I think it'd be fun. But man, to look that it's December and we have at least 4 more months of this, if not, probably more like 5 more months of this. Bills won. The Chiefs lost. The Chiefs cannot win the AFC West now. It's good vibes. Good vibes here in Western New York. Okay, so the Bills might not win the division. But they have a 97% chance now to make the playoffs. That's pretty good. Hope everyone had a great weekend. And, you know, if I was doing a sports show, I would spend the first half hour not talking about the Bills, but talking about how Notre Dame maybe should join a conference instead of cry about not making the playoffs. But I can't do that because this is a talk show in Buffalo and not a sports show. But to all the Notre Dame fans out there, join a conference and maybe play more than 3 road games. Anyway, so lots to get to. And again, excited about the Bills victory. Always puts everyone in a better mood here in Western New York. And hey, Josh Allen finally beat Joe Burrow. So we can put that one on the board too. And you know, hey, on to the Patriots, who got a bye week this week. Anyway, but Bills win. We're happy. Or you heard David and I talking about it at the end of his show. I've had a few things, and I always contemplate. So this is always what goes on in my head when I'm putting a show together. What to lead off with, right? You know, in baseball, You want to have someone that's going to get on base, right? My leadoff story, my leadoff topic is always what's going to get people to interact with the show. So I had a lot. And this is the one we're going to start with. Gen Z. Now, this is something I have talked about. And Gen Z is the topic here. I think it goes beyond Gen Z. I think some of you boomers out there are just as guilty as Gen Z. But Gen Z started, let's go. Gen Z is struggling in the office place because of what experts call telephobia. Telephobia, and it's because Gen Zers don't like making phone calls. Some would say are scared to make phone calls. Over in the UK, a study by the Trinity College of London surveyed 1,500 people aged 16 to 29 across UK. It found that 38% of young people dread having to make small talk in the workplace. That's part of the workplace. That's just part of it. I mean, you make small talk. By the way, sometimes you have to make small talk out of the workplace. I mean, I'll tell you. If you're with your significant other and at one of their work functions and you have to make small talk, you want to talk about, you think it's scary making small talk at work with people you work with? Try making small talk with your significant other's workmates, you know, because this, it's not only a reflection on you, it's a reflection on them. Now, luckily, I've not had to do that. I can't remember the last time I haven't been to a work function of my wife's at her current employer, so I haven't been able to embarrass her unless they turn on the radio. So 38% of young people don't like making small talk. 60% say they struggle to work with older colleagues, while 30% feared picking up the phone. And that's what they call telephobia. Liz Baxter, who's a careers advisor at Nottingham College, says there's a massive skill to learning to make phone calls. There's a massive skill to learning to make phone calls? I actually think in a lot of situations, and I know I've talked about this before, I think in a lot of situations, calling and verbally talking to someone is better than text. Now, maybe it's just the way I text, but if I tell you something, say we're in a conversation, and I say something to you, with tone and everything, you can tell if I'm being sarcastic, if I'm trying to get a, hit a punchline or something. In a text, it's all read as the receiver's reading it. Now that's a scary situation. I don't think it's a big skill to make a phone call. Now again, I am the millennials here. We're the last generation that grew up with home phones. Now, there are some Gen Zers who parents hung on to the home phone. I get it. 20% of people still have a landline, so it's not everybody. But a majority of Gen Zers grew up with what they remember not having a landline. We have a Gen Zer on the other side of the glass. Am I correct, Tanner? Did you grow up with a landline in Corning, or did your parents get rid of the landline?
I think they had one for a little bit. My grandparents, I know for sure, had one for a long time. They might still actually have it, even though my grandmother, I usually, if I'm going to call, I call her cell phone. But my grandparents definitely had one. I can't remember about my folks, though. I think they would have had one for maybe the first, I don't know, 5-10 years of my life.
So did you grow up, I mean, do you feel, you're a Gen Zer, do you dread picking up the phone? Do you get like anxiety over having to make a phone call? I guess is what I'm asking.
Not particularly, but I'm, my line of work, I'm a little more desensitized to having to make and answer phone calls than the average Gen Zer. So I'm so numb to it at this point. But for me now, it's nothing just because of my job. I mean, and me laughing there when you asked if I dread answering the phone, that's not because of you guys. It's not because of BEN. Now, WGR after a Bills loss, yes, I get very anxious about answering those calls. But over here, no, it's second nature at this point. I mean, it's nothing.
I mean, you answer more calls than I would say the average office person answers, because now so much stuff is done on the computer. This is the one line of work where, I mean, calls are still a part of the daily process of running a radio show. And you have to place the calls. You can't send an email, hey, Joe would like to speak with you now. You have to call the number. I mean, that. So Tanner is in a little different spot than the average, you know, cubicle office worker, because, again, we still have, hopefully, let's talk at three. We still have regular, you know, we have a lot of calls, right? And Tanner has two shows that get a lot of calls, me and Tom. So he has, you know, he's a Gen Zer that does still have to pick up the phone. But Liz Baxter says massive skill to learning phone calls. And she says colleges, now get this, can you just imagine? And I know a lot of people in the audience, they're my age, a little bit older. I mean, the phone calls, I remember when I would, you know, I still remember my home phone number when I grew up. It was 607-324-2565. I don't think anyone has that number anymore. That was our home line until we moved here. And, I mean, that hasn't been my phone number for 26 years. That hasn't been my parents' phone number. I know both of my parents' cell phone numbers. Because we, you know, I would dial those before I had a phone, right? I would get home from school, right? Make sure, you know, I would be home from school. I would pick up the landline and call either my mom or my dad and say, hey, we're home. And I still know their cell phone number. I know their numbers by heart. I've been with my wife for 7 years now. I don't know my wife's number. If I was put in a situation where I didn't have my phone, I couldn't call my wife. Now, interestingly enough, I could call Tanner, not his cell, but I could call the warm line in the control room. I know that by heart, but I don't know my wife's cell phone number by heart. I mean, I have been here for 16 years, double the time I've been with her. So now Liz Baxter says, because previous generations like you and I grew up with no option, you had to pick up the phone, right? I mean, I remember when instant messenger was a thing. That was the first that millennials had a first chance to get away from the phone. Now, again, you can talk about those pagers that you could text on. We didn't have those. Let's be honest. But, you know, instant messenger, but you had to be on a computer, mostly dial-up at the time. So, you know, you still would call your friends. Hey, is so-and-so home? Would they like to hang out? So we grew up with the phone. But now, Gen Z, you don't have to pick up a phone to talk to a friend. You don't have to pick up a phone to book a trip. You don't have to, heck, many people don't have to pick up a phone to schedule an interview, right? If you apply to a job, I remember when I applied here, Kevin Carr called me. Joe Beamer would like to set up an interview with you. Okay. Now, I don't know, maybe Kevin still calls, but a lot of places you apply, they send you an email. We would like to schedule a Zoom interview. There's no phone calls. So now, you know, 20 years ago, you had a call to do a lot of things, right? 25 years later, you could go the whole day and communicate with multiple people and not verbally say a word. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on this topic, your advice. I like to think that there's a Gen Zer or two listening to talk radio right now. No, one, it's on the other side of the glass. Your advice to Gen Zers who dread picking up the phone. Now, there is a difference, because we had someone on my Facebook page, Joe Beamer. You can give me a follow at the Joe Beamer on X as well. But we had someone on the Facebook page that says, I'm a boomer and have always hated making phone calls. I think that's different than dreading, and that's different than not knowing, like, the outline of a phone call. Do you get what I'm saying? 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on telephobia that apparently is an issue in the office place worldwide. We'll go a little more through this survey, but first, in Tonawanda, Cliff is on hold. Hey, Cliff, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Cliff. Your thoughts on telephobia?
Well, I don't know if it's telephobia for sure, but people, when they call you and they know your name, even if on my cell phone it rings, possible scam, they know my name and they ask for me by name. When I was very young, we were taught that you introduce yourself. I did phone sales. You always introduced yourself first and then you carried on with the conversation. It's rather obvious with cell phones, almost everybody has their own. So that's probably my big thing. But also, number two, the texting instead of a telephone, there's been so many misunderstandings. You mentioned voice inflection, but just what the message even means.
That's, yeah, exactly. And you know what, Cliff? It's funny. You know, if I'm like on a long drive, I'm in the car, and you can't text when you're driving, I actually now have kind of preferred the phone call because I've got 10, 15 minutes in my car. I'm not doing anything. I want someone to talk to.
Yep.
And that's, in my opinion, the best time to conduct a phone call. Again, hands-free. But, I mean, right. It's a lot easier than voice to text. That's the thing I don't get, Cliff. The people who will choose voice to text while they're driving instead of just calling the person and having a back-and-forth conversation.
Yep. Well, I like the phone call, the conversation anyway, because you're able just to ask clarifying questions, yep, and you get the job done right away. If you're meeting somebody and there's a misunderstanding, then there's some disappointment, and sometimes people are upset with each other about the way things ended up.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Cliff, appreciate the call. I remember back, again, we'll go back to AOL Instant Messenger, which was kind of like text messaging, but on your computer. And I was back and forth with a friend at school, and I wrote something that, again, I just assumed they would read it like I wrote it. They didn't. Let's just say that person was mad at me for like 3 months. I'm not even exaggerating. 803-0930, star 930. I don't get me wrong. I text a lot. I mean, group text and everything. And you know, it's fine. Like, I have a group text we have a family group text. That's easy. That's probably better because I'm not the best at relaying messages. So you have everyone in one text, then everyone gets to see it. I have group text with my fantasy football league, obviously, for, you know, obvious reasons. We just put, you know, football information in there. I do text a lot. I don't want to say I don't. However, I'm also just as comfortable. Like, you know, I texted a buddy right before the show. I'd be just as comfortable calling that person and having the conversation. It's just I know they're at work. Unlike me, they can't talk on the phone when they're at work. So we text back and forth. 803-0930, star 930. Your advice to Gen Z, the Generation Z, who is not only struggling, not only dreading, but struggling to make phone calls. And again, this, we are talking about the first generation where a majority of their teenage years, there most likely was not a landline in the house. You know, and this is one of those things where, you know, we're seeing new things pop up because, again, millennials, my generation, we were the last generation that really did have the, many of us, you know, did not have internet until the late 90s. And when we did have internet, it was dial-up. We weren't watching TV through the internet. We didn't really have cell phones until later in high school or college. Right? For the longest time, the Beamer family cell phone was a big brick that sat in the glove box of the car in case there was an emergency. But now, cell phone, that's a way of life. You're more likely to walk into someone's house and them not have a computer because they're doing everything on their phone, on a tablet. Maybe there's a laptop somewhere. It's very different. And again, most houses, you know, 80% of Americans do not have a landline. So a lot of Gen Z grew up without the necessity of making a phone call. Your advice to Gen Z, also, like I said, Gen Z is getting the spotlight here. But I think there's older generations, millennials, boomers, Gen X, who have fallen in, right, grew up making phone calls. Right? Come on, Gen X. You're on the phone with the long wire, twirling the wire around your finger while you were talking on the phone, right? But it's been so long now text messaging has been a part of our lives for at least 15 years on the phone, and then you had AIM before that. right? And if you're saying 15 years, Joe, my phone's had texting. Well, if you remember, a lot of people didn't text as often when you were paying $1 a text, okay? Okay? So, yeah, we've had texting on our phones for 20, 25 years. But once phone companies stopped charging you per text and stopped charging you data is when texting gone wild, right? Have you fallen victim to now maybe you're in this category of dreading to make a phone call, fearing to make a phone call? Have you lost the art of making a phone call? 803-0930, star 930. It's Joe Beamer talking telephobia. Didn't think you'd hear that today, did you? On WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Joe Beamer on News Radio 930, WBEN. On this Monday, great to be with you. I don't mean to be making fun of Gen Z. That's not what I'm doing at all. Again, I think there are millennials. I think there are Gen Xers. I think there are boomers who fit into this category that they shy away from making phone calls. And it's to the point where they dread. And I don't know what it is. Do you dread talking to another person, like verbally? Now, a texter brought up a great point and said, I should probably just read the text, shouldn't I? It says, my son is 16 and his generation only FaceTime people. Well, I'll tell you this. In my opinion, FaceTime is better than texting, right? Because you have to have that verbal communication. It's as if you're having a face-to-face conversation. Maybe the next generation is undoing the generation of no phone calls by always FaceTiming. You know, you want to be able to show, you know, what you're talking about. You know, hey, I got this new such and such. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, on the big bulky phone talking to my grandparents. And, you know, I as a kid, you don't know. You're like, you're talking as if they're standing right there. They don't know what the heck you're talking about. You know, you point to something, they can't see it. Like, how cool that would be. Oh my gosh. I could, you know, if I was a kid now, talk to my grandparents, could show them, like, yeah, look at what I got for my birthday. But it is becoming an issue at the office. This is according to The Guardian. Goes on to say, Liz Baxter was the career advisor who says that colleges should teach a course for telephobia. Again, while previous generations grew up having no option but to pick up the phone, texting, online booking platforms, and AI customer service have made making a phone call one of the biggest generational divides. Now, fast food, you know, shouldn't be going regularly, but fast food, there's another thing. Used to be able, you know, used to go up and you would verbalize your order to somebody. How many people still do that? Now, anytime you order something at a fast food place or a fast casual place, you order on your phone, walk in, you take it off a shelf, you don't even say anything to anybody. You might have to show your phone to somebody. Hey, my name's Joe. I'm here for this order. But there's another way that, you know, it's just at every turn. And so what's that going to... I mean, again, there's always been people who, you know, you don't want to talk to someone if you don't have to. I completely understand that. But now at every avenue, we're just taking away any kind of interaction. You know, you get a delivery. Oh, just leave it at the door. That all started during COVID. I mean, I delivered pizzas for 14 years at Lenovo on Main Street in Williamsville. You could when I was working there, you could never just leave the pizza. Now, I left 2 years before the pandemic. But now, oh, you just leave it at my door. Oh, just leave it on the ground. You don't want to have to talk to the person that's delivering. And the person delivering doesn't want to talk anyway. You know? Oh, I'll get my groceries. Someone can shop for those and I'll come pick them up. Just, I'll open, you know, you can open you can open the trunk. That's fine. Put the groceries in there. Don't have to say anything except for, thank you. But that skill of the back and forth conversation, instead you have a generation of people who just want to look at the three dots in a bubble that the person's texting. Goes on to say, Baxter stresses the importance of sitting up straight, speaking slowly, and smiling as the caller will hear your voice. Sophie Rains, a customer support and experience manager who manages a call center, says that before dialing, you should jot down what purpose of your call is and what the purpose of your call is, it's poorly written, and any relevant information. That way, if you get nervous or confused, you can refer back to your notes. Now, again, I've never had to do that. Now, I write down notes when I'm doing interviews. Like, if you see the studio when I walk in, I have a packet of paper. I know Odyssey probably isn't a big fan of that, but I have a packet of paper and, you know, everything I want to talk about. I've got the articles. I've got handwritten notes. If that's what you have to do to make a phone call, fine. But go into it with a plan. If someone is rude or angry, Sophie Rain says, I usually let them vent and eventually they run out of steam and are often a bit calmer. Is that what people are concerned about? You don't want the confrontation. You'd rather have the confrontation in form of a text message. I mean, usually I'll text my wife something that I know, you know, I won't tell verbally my wife something I know would upset her. I'll text it to her while she's at work. But, you know, can't do that all the time. Can't do that all the time in the real world. But telephobia, it's a real thing. 30% of Gen Zers dread making a phone call. I would say 30% of anyone, they dread making a phone call. It's, can you make a phone call? Can you call someone and carry a conversation? Like, it goes a step above that. Dreading to make a phone call, okay, fine. I've had calls I've dreaded, right? I remember I worked like 2 days at a place and I called them and I said, you know, I'm sorry, I found a job somewhere else. And I dreaded that phone call. You know, this is uncomfortable. But it's part of life. There's different parts of life you're gonna be uncomfortable, right? But again, there's a difference between, like the person on my text on my Facebook said, I hate making phone calls. That's fine. But can you do it? Can you carry a conversation? Are you going to sit there silent on the other end? Is there anything more annoying than when you're talking to someone and they just get silent because, oh, now I'm talking and they have me on speaker as they text somebody else? That's pretty annoying too. Dave in Tampa says, I make a phone call if I think it's going to be a long conversation. If not, I text. That makes sense. But Dave, you can call, right? You can carry a conversation. And like I said, when I know I'm going to be in the car 20-25 minutes, I love calling somebody. You know, I can only be alone with my thoughts for so long. And, you know, if I know, okay, I've got 25 minutes in the car, this could be a nice back and forth conversation. I've got a lot to say. I obviously don't jot down the notes. 803-0930, star 930 if you want to talk telephobia or your advice to those who, you know, might be struggling to make a phone call in the office. Seems to be a bit of an issue with Gen Z, and I would argue with all generations. Now, before, on the text board, if we lose the ability to communicate face-to-face with decorum, that's pretty much everything. I don't want to get to that point. And again, I hate 5 years later to keep on pointing at COVID. But, I mean, COVID did... I'm not saying we weren't already getting there with technology and people able to do so much without saying anything. But COVID really fast-forwarded that and really pushed that along. And like, yes, it is nice that you can send a text to someone. I can text Tanner, hey, I'm going to be in the bathroom longer at a spot. No, I've never sent that text. But you got to be able to also talk to people, right? And again, 30% of employers that are still at home are going to at least a hybrid next year, some of them fully. Yeah, you got to make small talk. You got to make chit-chat. And for those people that say they can't do chit-chat, have you ever been to a party? Like, you don't make small talk at a get-together, at a party, where you sit there silent, looking at your phone? Well, you probably do. 803-0930, star 930, if you want to add to this. I wanted to get to this. I've wanted to get to this for a few days now. This story, and I heard it last night on a program I was listening to. This story is, again, I realize there's people in this audience. They don't like President Trump. That's fine. Have your own opinion. But to let the president get to you like Rosie O'Donnell has. I mean, can we just talk about unhealthy? And by the way, I kind of blame the media for a lot of this because there are people who aren't Rosie O'Donnell who can't go cry to the Washington Post who are just like this. We all know this person. But Rosie O'Donnell admits that her Trump obsession continues, though her friends beg her to disconnect. This is a story on Fox News. Rosie O'Donnell is sounding the alarm about her ongoing fixation with President Trump. The 63-year-old, along with some of her friends, spoke to the Washington Post about her move to Ireland after Trump's re-election last November, and one thing was made clear. She can't resist speaking of Trump. O'Donnell told her therapist the Wednesday before Thanksgiving she would refrain about posting about Trump for 2 days. Within hours, she broke that promise. Her friend said she was annoyed when she told O'Donnell, you got to detach. You've got to disconnect. Rosie then said she would go 3 days without posting about Trump. However, that attempt also failed. She says her emotional spiral began the moment Trump was elected. I felt on the verge of crying when he got elected, she told an Irish TV audience in March. The former talk show host said her concerns are personal. The Washington Post reported that during Trump's first term, she channeled her anxiety into more than 200 angry digital portraits of the former president on her iPad, labeling him as a moron, loser, and liar. That kind of obsessed focus on Trump is exactly what convinced O'Donnell she had no choice but to leave. Can you imagine in 25 years, Rosie O'Donnell went from shooting koosh balls into the audience to, for a decade now, crying about Donald Trump being president. And I just don't get this obsession. And again, Rosie O'Donnell's, you know, she's famous. She's open about it. But there are so many people in everyday Americans who just let this. And again, you can dislike, you know, I didn't like, I wasn't a fan of Joe Biden as president. Like, I didn't obsess over it every day. I wasn't a fan of Obama as president. But I was in college. I lived it up. Had fun. And sit in my dorm room crying about Obama being president. I mean, what the hell's going on? And for the media to continue to feed this, and you cannot deny that the mainstream, the MS Now and CNN are just feeding this. It's craziness. Like, and don't get me wrong. I feel bad for anyone who has let Trump, the thought of Trump just take over their life. I'm sorry. If you're thinking about Donald Trump every day and how much you dislike him as president, that's a problem. I mean, we live in the United States of America. We have elections. There's some presidents you're going to like, and there's some you're not going to like. You know? I mean, if you don't like President Trump, you know, eventually there might be a Democrat as president, right? I mean, it's kind of how it goes. We had Clinton, then we had Bush, then we had Obama, then we had Trump, then we had Biden, and now we have Trump again. That's just how it goes. But to let it get to the point where you can't go 2 days without posting about Trump on your social medias. I mean, that's definitely something wrong there. You know, I proposed that we make Instagram a non-political social media. So we had one, right? We have one social media where no politics can be discussed. No one signed on with me. I was very upset. But I think we need something like that. Because again, we might disagree politically. We might not see eye to eye. But I don't want this happening in my... Now, Rosie O'Donnell doesn't live in America anymore. But I don't want this happening in my country where people are so obsessed that they're dwelling on their perceived hatred of the current president. You know, like I said, I wasn't a fan of Biden. I wasn't a fan of Obama. I wouldn't say I hated either of them. I didn't like them as president. I don't think they were particularly good presidents. I don't think their policies were great for America. But my gosh, I didn't sit there dwelling over it. I didn't get this rage feeling of hatred because they were on TV giving a press conference. So you got to snap back to reality. I mean, there are people who literally, they ignore their families. They cut off connection with extended family. And they'll even cut off family who politically agree with them, who tells them they have to calm down. They don't understand. There's probably someone hate listening to this show right now yelling at the radio. You got to calm down. Again, you can dislike Trump. You can go have your little No Kings protest. You can even post on social media. But when it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night, you're watching the Sabres play. But in the back of your mind, you're just thinking about how much you dislike Trump. You're telling me that's not a problem. That's not an obsession. That's not an unhealthy obsession. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's people on the right who, you know, sat there for 4 years, overthinking about their dislike of Biden. I'm not saying this is a one-side thing. But this is like we've never seen it before when it comes to Trump. And it's unhealthy, and the media shouldn't be feeding it. And like I would say, I agree with Rosie O'Donnell's friend. You got to unplug. You got to detach. You know, I'm 24/7 plugged into news and everything. But don't get me wrong. I know when to detach. I know when to disconnect. I enjoy my weekends, right? But it's funny because this is the second time in the last few months that someone's actually being like vocal and honest about how they feel. And it just shows a really ugly picture of people who dwell on this hatred they have. It's not good. It's not good for the country. And, you know, hopefully these people can disconnect, get some help, and, you know, be happy. You only get one life. Be happy. That's my message. We're back after this. Well, we have some breaking news here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And it is happening right now. A person of interest in the shooting of Jets cornerback Chris Boyd caught in Buffalo. Not only in Buffalo, caught literally within a mile of the WBEN studios at the UB North campus. This story is breaking. It was also confirmed by our very own Jim Fink. Here is what we know. A suspect linked to the shooting of Jets cornerback Chris Boyd was taken into custody at a Buffalo apartment complex Monday. Law enforcement sources said the 20-year-old man is on his way back to the Big Apple to face charges in the pre-dawn November 16th violence that left 29-year-old Boyd shot in the stomach in front of an Asian fusion restaurant on West 38th Street near 7th Avenue. He was picked up by members of the U.S. Marshals Service a short distance from the University of Buffalo's North Campus. Now, if you don't remember, Boyd was shot out, was out on the town with gangrene linebacker Jamin Sherwood and wide receiver Irvin Charles when a group started mocking their fancy duds, according to law enforcement sources. As the athletes started to head out, apparently, because he didn't like the vibe inside the hotspot that often draws a celebrity crowd, a scuffle broke out in the street and shots were fired. One struck Boyd in the stomach and was rushed to the hospital where he was listed in critical but stable condition. No one in Boyd's group was armed. The video was on X and shows mob of people in the streets throwing punches when two shots rang out, sending everyone scrambling for cover. The person of interest has four prior busts on his record, but most are sealed, including raps from earlier this year for unlawful possession of personal identification and criminal possession of controlled substance. He was arrested as an adolescent offender in 24 for reckless endangerment and had a sealed juvenile arrest in 2018 for robbery. Was arrested this afternoon in Buffalo again. Within a mile of the WBEN studios, it was around the UB North, I think, again, I could be wrong, there's plenty of apartment complexes around UB, but I think I know the one they're talking about, was arrested and was taken in for questioning in the shooting of Jets cornerback Chris Boyd. Again, our Jim Fink confirmed this story and has the article on WBEN.com. He is from the Bronx. He's a 20-year-old Bronx man who was detained and is being questioned by Buffalo police along with members of the New York State Police in connection of that shooting. Again, this breaking, and as we get more information, obviously we'll bring it to you, but a suspect, is that what they want to say? Suspect in the Chris Boyd shooting, he's the cornerback for the Jets, detained, just around University of Buffalo's North Campus and is being questioned by Buffalo Police and New York State Police. And again, if you look, the suspect has a lengthy record. Again, we'll keep you updated. That is breaking here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I should also say we have different information. So the New York police said the man was taken into custody without incident after being found on Buffalo's east side. So the New York Post is saying UB North Campus. I will believe our Jim Fink, who is saying the east side. So not within miles of WBEN studios. My bad. But again, this is from Jim now. The suspect is considered a person of interest and was found without incident on Buffalo's east side. The suspect is expected to be moved to New York City within the next day, police sources say. Citing the ongoing investigation, police sources declined further information. Again, this is from Jim Fink saying that the suspect was found on Buffalo's east side. We will go with that. There were earlier reports that said UB's North Campus, but Jim has been in constant contact, and his article is at WBEN.com. And again, we'll continue to update you. Sorry for the confusion. You know how it happens when there's breaking details. So again, this person found on Buffalo's east side, taken him without incident, being questioned, and expected to be moved to New York City within the next day. That story developing, and we will have further details at the top and bottom of every hour. And when news breaks, here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Very, very interesting. And, you know, we remember that. Obviously, it's an NFL player shot in New York City. But for the suspect to be found here in Buffalo, obviously puts Buffalo into the discussion. And again, discussion of this. And again, we will keep you updated on this story moving forward. Now, 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. You know, there's a lot I want to get into today, but we only have so much time. Tomorrow I'll have a third hour. So tomorrow I can get into all the stuff I don't get to today. This is what I'm saving for tomorrow. Vacant properties are a problem in Buffalo. And now the city of Buffalo wants to tax the owners of vacant properties. And, you know, maybe we'll get into this one now since I just started talking about it. Vacant properties is not only an issue. It's a big issue in the city of Buffalo, right? You have abandoned houses that are boarded up. And, you know, let's be honest, people, you know, deal drugs out of abandoned homes. And this has been an issue for as long as I can remember. I remember when I was in college and I forgot what class we were, but we would go and we would, you know, look at all of the areas of Western New York where you had, you know, just complete neighborhoods that were vacant, right? We would look at urban blight throughout the throughout Western New York, and it's sad. I mean, you have a lot of land that could be used for newer housing. You have land on streets that could be torn down and used for business. But now the city of Buffalo, which by the way is also, you know, in a huge economic issue. And what's the answer of getting out of the economic issue? Hey, let's have four deputy mayors. Doesn't make much sense. But now vacant properties are a problem in Buffalo. And a tax, they say, could help. This is from the Buffalo News. Buffalo lawmakers are exploring a new tax as one way to force the hand of property owners and speculators who sit on real estate while their lots and buildings cause blight and reduce property values for neighbors. Council Majority Leader Leah Halton Pope and Niagara District Council Member David Rivera have put forth a measure recently that would compel the city finance and administration department to investigate a progressive tax on vacant buildings and derelict lots. Halton Pope, in an interview with the news, said her Ellicott district has one of the highest rates of vacant land and buildings in the city, while other districts have similar issues. The administration and council members need more tools to force the hand of property owners who let properties fall into disrepair. Halton Pope goes on to say those owners who are not doing anything, it just doesn't help build a community, especially in a commercial strip, which is that's one thing I was talking about. The problem is there's a lot of vacant buildings. Now, are we talking about vacant homes that are boarded up? Or are we talking about vacant buildings that just don't have... I'm sure we're just talking about the ones that are run down, you know, again, door boarded up, windows boarded up, falling into just disrepair. Like the only move is you can tear it down. It's beyond saving, right? While stressing that law department should be considered for clarity, he said fees and fine system may not be subject to the same approvals. The finance and administration department has until December to provide analysis to the council of ways the city can use tools it has to compel owners of vacant properties to improve their lots and buildings, according to the resolution passed in November. Rivera has long complained of the burden that vacant lots and structures put on communities in his district. And he said the properties put additional burdens on city workers and taxpayers as they often attract crime, fires, and other problems city workers end up dealing with. So, a tax for vacant properties in the city of Buffalo, a new strategy to tackle the issue. Now, you could also say, what's the tax going to go for? Because the city of Buffalo put that tax towards their deficit, when you could argue that this tax, and again, I did not see anything in here that said that's where the tax would be going, but it would be nice if that tax went towards demolition of vacant buildings, right? So if you're going to collect a tax, if you're going to fine the owners, instead of trying to get out of your own problem the city of Buffalo has caused, right, their deficit, could the city of Buffalo take that tax, put it aside into its own account, and that could be, because that's what always happens. I ask this question to city leaders all the time on Hardline. You know, how many of these eyesore houses that no one's living in, we know drugs are running out of it. The crime, as the article says, fires. How much would it take to tear down and clear the land? Well, we can't. We can only do so many a year. Well, if you're going to take this tax, now again, I look at this as the city of Buffalo is looking for another way to dig itself out of a deficit that, by the way, it's still operating on. Like, that's the craziest thing about the city of Buffalo. And you know, Sean Ryan's going to come in, and I mean, so far he's going to employ more people than the last administration. But the city of Buffalo is working at a deficit. Like, and the answer is, well, we need more aid from New York State. How about you run within the money that you have? I'm not saying cut services, but I can guarantee you that there are bloated offices and departments in the city of Buffalo. I mean, is anyone going to challenge me on that? But if you're going to collect a tax, how do you not put those funds into demolition and clearing the land? And then we could have more money to do that. And then, you know, instead of trying to sell a bunch of bricks to a developer and saying you have to use these bricks in your plan, you could give developers a clean lot. There's nothing here. We use the tax money. We use the tax collected to tear it all down. And now there's the land sitting here to be developed. Do I sound dumb saying that? Or does that make perfect sense? 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Elma. That's where Todd is. Todd, your thoughts on the city looking for a new tax?
Yeah, I'm wondering why nobody's turning the script around and asking these politicians, what are we doing to actually make the neighborhood better, to want business to come to it? I think that's the better question.
Right. I mean, you've got empty lots, you've got empty buildings, and as Councilmember Halton Pope said, you know, a lot of these are in commercial strips. Well, again, just like my argument with the city of Buffalo not making downtown attractive for a Bill Stadium, why doesn't the city do something to attract businesses to these areas?
I mean, taxing something so people want to do less with it is never going to change it. So it'll look, I don't know if good's the right word for their books, but I think it would look better if you actually had a thriving community that maybe could actually have less taxes because there's more going on in it. And maybe they should concentrate on that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You take the tax, but the problem is still there. And we all know the city of Buffalo would just throw that tax towards their deficit. They wouldn't do anything with the property. So you collect the tax to, as you said, help your books look better, but it doesn't solve the problem. The problem's still there.
No, I mean, I don't think anybody, well, most politicians are in the business of solving problems.
No.
Honestly. You know, but if they actually thought about it like a business and made it more profitable, they'd look like heroes. Then nobody would be complaining and asking for term limits because they'd actually be accomplishing something.
You're absolutely right, Todd. You're absolutely right. Appreciate the call, Todd and Elma. Again, that's the way it's explained in this article is the tax money, yeah, that would go to the city of Buffalo, but you would still have the problem. Like Todd said, you would still have the problem. So I'm going to take his words. Your books would look better. You might be able to take a few thousand off the deficit, but you still have these abandoned, run-down buildings that aren't generating revenue, that are lessening the home values. It's creating areas where not only do businesses not want to move in, but people don't want to move in. No one wants to live next to a house that's boarded up, right, in awful condition. Maybe the roof is starting to cave in. No one wants to many people don't even want to live in the same neighborhood as a home that's fallen into such disrepair. That's why I like what Todd said, but like I said, I would also take, if we're going to take the tax, then that tax cannot go toward the deficit. That tax can't go through toward anything else but demolishing these buildings and clearing the lot. And you'd have more money to do that. You couldn't use the excuse, we don't have no money, we don't have enough money. And then again, you want to offer a pile of bricks to developers. You want to offer a hotel that, talk about falling into disrepair downtown. And again, I agree with them when it comes to the old Adams Mark. Something needs to be done with that property. But you could use this money, clear these buildings down one by one as the money comes in, and you would have clean lots for a developer to take and start from scratch. And with no stipulations, no, you have to do this. Just, hey, develop this property. And I would agree that you need to start with the commercial strips, as the councilwoman said. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show, gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Your thoughts on the city of Buffalo looking at taxes to help vacant property issue. Let's go to North Buffalo. Larry is a landlord and homeowner. Larry, your thoughts on this suggestion from the council?
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me on. Like you said, I'm a homeowner in North Buffalo. I also am a landlord, three properties in the city. And what I was telling Tanner there, or whoever on the phone today, I don't understand how some properties are allowed to get into disrepair to the point that you're talking about, you know, let's tear them down, let's, you know, put a special tax in place. I own these properties. If I've had citations from the city because the paint on the side of my building was peeling, I've had multiple city inspectors coming out, looking at what I'm doing, coming in, inspecting the inside of my properties. This is all new rules. Why aren't these properties that are in disrepair subject to the same rules and regulations that the people that pay their taxes on these properties, like myself, and keep them in repair do? Why is there a difference? Why aren't the fines that go unpaid, if there's property tax unpaid, if there's a fine unpaid, that property should go into remission, and the city has a period of time where they contact the landlord. If it doesn't get addressed, the city can take the property over and do what they want with it. I have bought properties in rem auctions from the city and refurbished them, rebuilt them, refurbished them, and rent them out. The rules are there. I don't know that we need a new set of rules. And I'm wondering if these Congress people, assemblymen, whoever's asking for these special rules, why is it that in their district that these issues are propagating? What is not being done with the current regulations, the current rules already in place? Whose back is getting scratched? Who's not getting scratched? Why are there special rules for some and not others? I just think we need to, the city needs to abide by the rules, put the rules in place and stick with them universally, not on a, an ad hoc basis, based on whoever the hell owns the property. That's just where I'm at with it.
And Larry, you know better than anyone. You're in that situation. So when you talk about the paint peeling, do you get fined for that or a ticket? How does that work?
You get a letter and you have a period of time to get it fixed, and you have to prove that you fixed it. So, for example, now the city has, for any property that you rent, landlord rents out, every 3 years they have a mandatory inspection where they come in and inspect the inside of the house also. And they give you a list of things that you have to do to meet their requirements, and you have a period of time to get that done. To the extent, earlier this year, they sent out a notification to people that own property saying that you have to do any repairs you do on your house have to be done to lead-based paint standards. Meaning, not if you get a code violation for having lead paint. If you're going to work on a house, even if it hasn't been flagged for lead paint and it's prior to 1978, you have to be certified to work on that property, and you have to go to a class given by the city and get certified to do that. I drive by some of these properties, and same thing as you're saying, well, why are they in such a state of disrepair? Because those rules are not being applied universally across the board. Wow. And if they were, these properties would be up for auction, and they would be sold to somebody that wants to do something with it, and the city doesn't have to deal with it. That's how they've dealt with this in the past. Like I said, I've bought properties from in rem auctions from the city and done what's needed to fix them up and make them viable.
Hey, Larry, appreciate the insight. We're up against the clock. Thank you so much. Larry in North Buffalo really putting his experience with everything in there, I think provides a great insight to how it is now. Your thoughts on anything Larry said and the proposed tax on vacant properties after the news on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
The greatest band that ever was, Kiss. They were honored at the Kennedy Center last night and at the White House on Saturday. You saw Paul, Gene. You did not see Ace, obviously. His daughter was there for the award, but it was good to see Kiss all together. Peter, Gene, Paul, Ace sadly left us a few months ago, but they were honored at the White House for their contributions. George Strait was also there, so pretty cool to see that. 803-0930, star 930, talking about vacant properties in the city, and it's been an issue for as long as I can remember. Like I said, when I was in college, we did a tour. I can't remember what class this was for. I don't think it was for a communications class, obviously. And we went around looking at urban blight. And, I mean, that was in 2009. We went, and saw rundown homes. They used the Central Terminal as an example. But we know there's millions and millions being pumped into that. We'll see what comes of it. But, I mean, if you look, it does seem, and I know this is talking more about rundown properties in the city, again, where doors are boarded up, where roofs are caving in. But vacant properties, vacant buildings is becoming an issue Western New York. I mean, that's becoming a region issue. Many storefronts just sitting empty, right? We're seeing more and more of that, unfortunately. I live in Clarence, and right there by the Eastern Hills Mall, which is being redeveloped into a town center. But you have my former employer sitting there, huge property, empty. Now, obviously, that doesn't cause the building's not run down, and it's one in a plaza. But you're seeing this more and more, empty buildings. I shouldn't say vacant, because they do still turn the lights on in those buildings. You go downtown, I mean, it is sad when you walk downtown, and not only are there vacant buildings downtown, there are some buildings on Main Street in downtown Buffalo, or in busy areas of downtown Buffalo that have completely fallen into what looks to be disrepair. You know, you got Larry who's getting written up for paint chips. My gosh, if you go to Big Ditch Brewery downtown, the building right across the street, the whole thing's paint's chipping away. Building looks like it hasn't been touched since 1975, when that album came out that we played coming in. So I understand this is trying to focus, and this is trying to tackle an issue throughout the city where you have neighborhoods that, you know, one house falls into disrepair, and then it seems that another house, and nothing's being done. You know, as Larry says, and Larry is himself taking these buildings that have fallen into disrepair and bought them at auction and has redeveloped them, right? And then he's getting singled out while you have many properties that, again, haven't been dealt with since I was in college. And then you go into the commercial strips where there might be some land there that a business would like to, or a developer would like to tackle, but they're not going to pay to remove the building that's been sitting there. You know, the rat-infested building, which is another issue when you have, you know, when a building sits empty for long enough. That's another issue, is concentrated infestation. I remember when I was a kid and they put those traffic circles in at Kensington and Harlem, and they tore down that plaza. And by the time they tore down that plaza, there was only one remaining business. The rest of that plaza had really sat empty for like a decade. And when they tore it down, I mean, we had a rat issue all surrounding Snyder for like 5 years from those old buildings being torn down. And you let these empty buildings just fall more and more into disrepair. It's not only attracting the crime, which, I mean, that's a big issue. But also, I mean, you don't want to live next to a house where, you know, rats are living, rats and mice and everything else. 803-0930, *930. Let's go to Randy in Forestville. Randy, you're also a landlord.
Yep, been a landlord since 2002 in the city of Buffalo.
What's your experiences, and what do you think of the way they want to tackle it?
Well, it'll do nothing but make it even worse. The problem is not landlords don't want to fix their houses. You give up after a while. I owned as many as at our peak. We had 35 units in Buffalo and another 12 out in the country. I bought a lot of houses that were in very, very poor condition and rebuilt them. I once bought a house for $9,900. No electric, no plumbing, no heating, no windows, no kitchens, no bathrooms. It had been stripped. You know, we spent like $50,000 rebuilding it. But the city, wow, and New York State in general, they changed the laws in 2019. So that it's extremely difficult to operate as a landlord anywhere in New York State. Buffalo is much worse. There's crazy NGOs in Buffalo. I could give you names, but you probably don't want the names of the NGOs.
No, we probably should. We probably should stay away from that for now.
Right. But there's NGOs. Their whole goal is to set up landlords. They're called testers. They will send out people that have no intentions of running an apartment. They will come in and ask you the dumbest questions, trying to bait you into saying something illegal. Like, they'll come in and say, a young girl might say, my boyfriend is a black guy. Is that going to be a problem? They'll say stuff like that to you while they're looking at an apartment. I didn't know about these people in the beginning. You know, once I learned about them, I'm like, well, now that explains all these crazy people that used to come to, or they still did. But that's their goal. The city of Buffalo has no concept. They don't have business people on their board. Is there even a single Republican on the city board?
There is not. There is not. There is one that runs Democrat and conservative, I think, is the closest to Republican, but they're a Democrat / conservative, allegedly.
So I'll bring this up to you, and this is I'm trying to think. Who's that young guy that you have on quite regularly, the councilman?
Mitch Nowakowski, Fillmore District.
Mitch Nowakowski, yep. He was on with you a few weeks ago, and he called us slumlords. That tells you what you need to know about why nobody wants to operate in the city of Buffalo. I think that's inappropriate. Next time you have him on, I'd appreciate it if you say, you know, that's really inappropriate. You wouldn't let me come on and use a slur against anybody, and that's a slur.
Right.
I can tell you, I've spent a lot of money rebuilding apartments, and then they get destroyed, and you have no recourse. There is none.
Right. Why? Let me ask you, why do you stick with it?
I'm not. I'm selling my last house. I got one left in Buffalo, and it's done.
Oh, wow. It took you 20?
I had 35.
Wow. 35. And you said a lot of those you rebuilt from nothing?
They were beautiful. What I did, Joe, is I'd look for houses that had great, like straight walls, level floors, decent neighborhoods, not great neighborhoods, but okay. Some were in really, really good neighborhoods. But an attitude of everybody, I had one house that we should have done more work to get it ready for sale, but I was there just mowing the lawn. The next door neighbor's a junkie drug dealer, and he came out, I won't tell you the whole story, it'd take too long, but he was violent, and he was acting out really wild when I was there. They had probably 30 or 40 people came out of their houses because he was screaming like a lunatic, including his own mother, who lived up the road just a little bit. She couldn't get him calmed down. We called 911 four times.
Wow.
And the person at 911 finally said, well, has he brandished a weapon yet? And I said, no, but he keeps saying he doesn't have to get near me to take me out. That kind of tells me he's got a weapon.
Right.
And they said, well, if he does pull a gun, call us back.
Oh, my gosh.
So we left, and I told my wife, I will never set foot on that property ever again. Call the realtor. Tell her you're going to sell it. It's a cash deal because it needed a roof. I'm like, I'm not going to put anybody in that position. We'll sell it as is, cash deal. I walked away, probably lost $100,000 over what I could have sold it for if I could have done the work. But I'm not going to risk my life in that nutball city. The cops have become useless. I mean, I've dealt with the cops there for 25 years. They're completely useless.
That is
there from 6 months to a year to do an eviction on somebody who's not paying.
I remember during COVID, that was a big issue, was the state's eviction. I mean, like you said, it would take close to a year before you can actually get the person out. And the whole time they're there, they're just ripping the place apart because they know they're going to be removed eventually.
You wouldn't even believe, Joe, I could sit and tell you stories of this. You know, if you talk to, there's something at the county level called the voucher. All you landlords, you know what I'm talking about. This is someone who's so broke they don't have a security deposit. So they go to the county, and the county gives them a voucher. So the landlord doesn't get any money up front. After they live there for a while, because they got no money and they got no skin in the game, they will tear that place off. I mean, I've had them, you know, thousands of dollars in damage. Just really wrecked. And you go back to the county, and you go, here, I had this person, they damaged the property, here's my voucher. The way they work is, let's say your security deposit should have been $800. Well, they say, well, we'll give you $250 right now, no questions asked. But if you want to wait and see if you can get the full $800, we're 90 days out on inspection. So you can wait 3 months.
Oh, my God.
We'll come inspect it to decide if we'll give you the full $800 or, you know, even anything over $250. So, of course, you just take the damn $250 and go about your life when there's $5,000 damage done.
Unbelievable. Randy, you have opened my eyes to, we might have to do another landlord show. It's been a few years since I did one of those.
You absolutely should. I think the average person, because I talk to other people that have never thought about, you know, what it is to be a landlord. They don't know the rules and such. And once you hear it, I have not come across anybody, a Democrat, a Republican, a socialist. Everybody's like, that's crazy. Why would you do that? Well, the answer is I'm not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Randy, I appreciate the insight. Randy in Forestville. We might have to bring back the landlord show. We did that once in a while, especially during COVID. But I don't know. Here's what we're going to do. Email me, joe.beamer@wben.com, all you landlords out there. Is there something you want to build on what Randy was saying? If so, well, I got extra hours all week. Today and Wednesday are the only 2-hour shows I have. You got extra Joe Beamer the rest of the week. Can you believe it? Let's go to John in Holland. John, your thoughts on all this?
Well, Randy's hitting a point that I absolutely love, and I love the fact that he's at least local and from Western New York. I don't know how many times you're driving around at all of the towns in Western New York. You see the signs that say, we buy houses for cash. Most of them don't have a 716 area code. It's a lot of downstate Connecticut, New Jersey numbers. It's because they're getting gobbled up, these vacant properties that just sit. And then they're just waiting for the market to turn enough that they can turn that around and you know, sell it. So I don't know that it's necessarily a slumlord-landlord issue if the person's local. But it always makes me laugh when I go, there's a lot of multifamily homes in the city of Buffalo that have fallen into disrepair that could very easily be renovated. And I don't know, maybe the Municipal Housing Authority could get in that game instead of constantly erecting brand new. But that wouldn't be good for our economy, just like the suburbanization of America that relies on us building more and expanding and going out. We don't like rebuilding stuff, dude.
Yeah, we're building more as buildings just sit and fall to the ground on their own.
And it's going to happen. Your former employer, there was that Best Buy that was right next to it. That's empty still, too.
No, that's a Ross's Dress for Less, John.
Oh my goodness. I thought that it was a Spirit Halloween.
That's a Ross's Dress for Less. How dare you? I get my T-shirts from there.
But even that Dix Plaza on Union Road, how long did that sit there until Lake Effect Furniture rolled in? And meanwhile, brand new developments were being built at Union and French Road that have turned into a partial warehouse, and they've been sitting up there with office space for rent for 4 years.
Yep, you're absolutely
right. Rent the brand new stuff, but we're going to, you know, ignore the things that exist.
There are three storefronts they put up on Transit Road somewhere in Lancaster. It's by the carpet outlet, and
yeah,
I don't think...
right where the old skating rink was.
Yeah, I don't think anything's ever moved in there. They're just these new build. They built them, and no one... It was the opposite. They built it, and no one came.
Not a single person. And I thought that those were there. It's a prime little area. It's a 30-mile-an-hour zone. I grew up across the street from the high school. So, you know, that's an area where you go, yeah, this is nice to have here. But again, we have so many vacant buildings that can't even get filled on their own. No one wants to rehab it. The Village of Lancaster just did it. That West Main Street extension, and they're watching turnover. The average business in there is only 18 months.
Wow.
18 months.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it is crazy to see the things they're building while we let other plazas, other buildings, other homes just rot and fall to the ground on their own, and then they actually will have to spend money, which is funny. They could have prevented it, but, you know.
Right, but if you're a first-time home buyer, you're almost forced into buying the house that needs to be completely gutted and rehabbed because you can't afford anything else.
Yeah, no, that's true. John, we're going to end the show on that note, my friend. You have yourself a great evening.
Hey, you too. It's a really kind of a low note. Can we? Yay, Bills.
Hey, John. Hey, you know what? You stole it from me. You're right. Let's end it on yay, Bills, and we'll expand on this in the coming days.
Have a good one, Beamer.
Yeah, you too, buddy. John in Holland, and that's the show. Tom Barley's up next. Talk to you tomorrow at 1 on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.